This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, the Lord is good. Good having you out here this morning. We have been on a series of faith and how many people's faith is being stoked up, increasing. Amen. You're learning how to walk in some faith. Amen. And, we've been going on a central theme, Hebrews 11:6, one of my favorite scriptures, amen. And I'm going to say this, you should have favorite scriptures out here. You should have scriptures in the Bible that you stand on to keep you strong in your faith, especially when the storms of life come, amen. So you should have those favorite scriptures that you confess, you know, especially when there's hard times in your life. Amen. And in Hebrews 11:6, this is powerful, talking about faith. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. I love that. So this tells me that God exists. And last week I talked about that to get your faith going in the right direction, you got to believe that God is good and God wants to reward you. Do you believe that God wants to reward you? I believe he wants to reward each one of us as we diligently seek him. And I don't know about you, but I love rewards. Amen. I want to be rewarded. Amen. Especially on that day that I see Jesus, when he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of your Lord. So I don't want to live my life for myself. Lots of people are living their lives for themselves, but I want to live my life for the glory of God. Say, that's me. And so that's really what I want to do. I want to live my life. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. And I want to make sure that I'm ready when he comes back. That I'm looking for him, that I'm walking with him, that I'm keeping my faith stoked high. Amen? I love that. So if you're going to believe in the existence of God, you got to believe not only that God is good, but God is powerful. How many people believe that we serve a powerful God? Amen. He's not powerless. He's powerful. I believe that God still does miracles today. He's not the God of I was. He's the God of I am. Amen. How many people believe that? I believe he's a miracle working God. And the Old Testament, you know, God had many names. And one of his names is called El Shaddai. El Shaddai. There's, I think, a famous song that was written, El Shaddai. I don't know if anybody remember that song or not. And El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. God is the all-sufficient one. He is the I am of which you need him to be. When he introduced himself to Moses as a burning bush in the wilderness, he introduced himself as I am. And that means that he is the impossible. You got to take him as the impossible God or your miracle worker. Say, Jesus is my miracle worker. And you got to believe that he is your miracle worker. Amen. So we're talking about faith today. And we got to remember that God is powerful and he can do the impossible. And his power works through his word. I'm going to say again, God's power works through his word. And so his word brings forth what he wants it to bring forth. The Bible says he watches over his word to confirm it or to make it go forth. Amen. So a lot of people have God's word in them, but they're not releasing it out of them. I'm going to say again, a lot of people have God's word in them, but they're not releasing it out of them. A lot of people hear the word of God and they mentally assent to God's word, but they're not truly, really believing God's word. And you know, you can have scriptures memorized, but are you actually, acting on the word of God? Because the word of God is more than just having scriptures memorizing. You got to, like I talked about last week, you got to be a doer of God's word. Amen. And so you can hear the word, But James says the blessed person is the one that doesn't just only hear the word, but it is the person that does the word. Somebody say, I'm a doer of God's word. So we got to believe that God moves in the power of his word and us believing his word and speaking his word. The Sadducees did not believe in the power of God. When Jesus was walking around, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's why they were sad, you see. Amen. And so, thank you for that courtesy laugh. And so they were Sadducees, and they didn't believe. Jesus was talking to them one time, and Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. They were questioning God about something, or Jesus about something. And Jesus said, you don't know the power of God. We got to understand that God is powerful. And the Sadducees lost out in the blessings of Jesus when they were down here on earth. Faith can lose its power if it's produced through dishonor or unbelief. So if we're going to see the power, the working power of God in your life, the mighty working power of God, you got to honor God and you got to believe his word. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so Jesus was, you know, he was preaching, and he was preaching all over the area when he was down here, and he was preaching in his hometown. And let's look at this, because we're going to get some keys today of what to do and what not to do to see the miracles of God work in our life. And in Mark 6:2-6, it says here, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from which has this man these things? And what wisdom is which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, nor the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are they not sisters with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. So we see here that Jesus was preaching in his hometown. And Jesus always, I mean, outside of his hometown, he did miracles. But in his own hometown, he could do no miracles. Why? Well, they questioned Jesus. They compared him to his brothers and his sisters. And they brought Jesus down to a natural level. And I'm going to say this. Jesus is the Word of God. You just can't bring the Word of God down to a natural level in your life. The Word of God is not just natural information that we receive by reading it and just get a good feel-good out of it. No, the Word of God is powerful, and we got to believe that it's supernatural power that can overcome the natural circumstances in our lives. Somebody say, I believe. The power of God's word can work for me. And the power of God's word can work for you, but you got to do something. You got to speak it out and believe it. And so they brought Jesus down to a common place. They said, look at this. Jesus, his brothers, his sister, he grew up here. They made Jesus common. And if you're going to see the power of God, you're going to have to make the word of God final authority in your life. Can I get a witness in the house today? And in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we see here that the revelation here that the word of God is living and powerful. And so it's not just information, but it's revelation to produce the power of mighty working power of God in your life. Amen. And so we see here that not only did they take the Word of God and made it common, and we don't want to do that. Sometimes when we're reading our Bibles, we just read it just to do our daily devotion. And we just read it just to get a little bit of information. But you got to read it to let it transform your life. You got to allow the Word of God to speak to you. Your Bible is God speaking to you. And some of us aren't in the Word like we need to. But the more you get into it, that Word can transform your life. Do you believe that today? So the second thing that the people did, they got offended with Jesus. I'm going to say this. You don't ever want to get offended with the Word of God. See, some people get mad at God. Why? Because they prayed a prayer. They didn't see it answered the way they thought it should have been answered. They're still waiting. Is anybody waiting out here for some answered prayers to come to pass? Amen. For some prayers to come to pass? Some of us are waiting. And I'm going to say this. Don't allow that process of faith to produce the promise. Don't allow in that time for the enemy to get you offended with God's word. Amen. Because some people get offended, say, oh man, I've tried this faith thing. I tried believing God and I haven't seen it happen yet. Well, you're still alive. Amen. Amen. And there's still time. Glory to God. And you know, you may not see it right at the very beginning. But continue. The Bible says, if you want to walk in truth, you got to continue in the Word of God. It doesn't say just get into it every once in a while. You continue in the Word, and the Word will make you free or set you free. But you got to continue. Say, I'm continuing in the Word of God. Amen. And so it's not just quoting a scripture in prayer one time and believing it. That's all you need to do. You got to continue to quote the scriptures. You got to continue to believe God's word. You cannot unhook from believing God's word. Amen. So we see here, if we're going to see the power of faith work in our lives, we can't allow ourselves to be offended with the word. And the key to staying offense free is to love God's word. I'm going to say again, the key to staying offense-free is to love God's word. In Psalms 119, 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Think about that. So if you love God's word, amen, it's going to be hard for you to get offended. And what is the devil doing in the last days? He's getting people offended. Getting people offended with God, getting people offended with other Christians, getting people offended with family members. That's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get people to walk in offense. Say, I'm not going to be offended. Amen. And then the people in his hometown, they dishonored Jesus. And because Jesus, they dishonored who Jesus was. And if we're going to see the power of faith work miracles in our lives and our families, we must honor Jesus and honor his word. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you honor God's word above everything else in your life? Now, see, you're like, I don't know about that. I like my TV programs. I like other things. I like my hobbies. Amen. But you need to love the Word of God above everything else, above entertainment, above anything else. You need to honor God's Word. And I like what King David, he loved God. He was a man called, you know, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. How many people want to be people after God's own heart today? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be like a David. Amen. I want to be blessed. And he was blessed. And he wrote a lot of the Psalms. And in Psalm 19, talking about honoring God, he says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, this is where I want you to hone in. More to be desired are than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward. So I love this. So he's saying the word of God is more costly, more precious than fine gold. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It's more precious than anything else. We know Mary and Martha, and you know the story where Jesus and his disciples came into the house, and Martha was cooking, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Do you remember the story? And Martha told Jesus, "Jesus, tell my lazy sister," I'm paraphrasing it, "to come help me in the kitchen." And of course, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha," you know. And when Jesus when Jesus answers you by speaking your name twice, you know you need to get on your knees. And he said, "Martha, Martha." You know, I'm going to say this. Sometimes, you know, we can become Marthas. In other words, we're all into working hard, amen, but we're not into spending time with the Lord. And sometimes we replace work with worship. Amen? We do the work and we feel good in working. And Martha was working, but you know what? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with work. That has its place, but worship always comes before work. Amen. Is that right? We want to put God before anything else. And so we want, you know, talking about honoring God's word, we want to honor God above everything else. And Mary was honoring Jesus, and maybe Martha needed to put some of that stuff away and sit down with Mary and listen to the word before they started into cooking. Glory to God. Amen. And so I love that. And so we need to learn to honor God's word. And the people in Jesus' hometown lost their opportunity to see mighty miracles because of all this brought unbelief. And so I'm going to say this. If you're going to walk in faith, you got to believe that God's word works and that it's going to accomplish all that you believe it's going to accomplish. Amen. You got to be, what I like to say, you got to be believing believers. Amen. How many believing believers do I have in the house today? Amen. And there are many Christians that are unbelieving believers, or they're believing the wrong things. And you got to believe the right things. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So if the word of God can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. And you can believe something that's not true. But I'm going to tell you that God is a good God. God is a powerful God. God wants to see a blessing in your life more than you do. And you got to believe that. I love that. And so I'm going to show you some scriptures here, just a couple of scriptures here, and about faith. And Jesus, in John 11:40, Jesus said to her, "Martha, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God." So Jesus said to Martha, and this was right before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. There was a stone over the cave where Lazarus was laying. And Jesus was saying to Martha, remove the stone so that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. And she's, of course, she says, well, you know, she made some excuse. Oh, he will stink if you open the door. No, her faith wasn't smelling too good that day. But Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the glory of God. In other words, the key between you and a miracle and answered prayer is obeying an instruction. Amen. I'm going to say again, the key to you and answered prayer is obeying God's word. Amen. You know, you're here today. You're honoring God today by being in church. And I guarantee you, by you coming to church, honoring God, God's going to do something good in your life. Do you believe that today? It's never wasted time to be in church. It's never wasted time to worship God. It's never wasted time to give God honor. Amen. Amen? Because if you honor God, God will honor you. Amen. Do you believe that today? I believe that today. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at some God-honoring people this morning. And I believe that there's a blessing on the other side of honoring God. Do you believe that today? So Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the glory of God. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. And that's powerful. In Matthew 8:13, he said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed. I'm talking about the power of believing right now. As thou believe, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that same hour. So the centurion believed Jesus' word. And all he said to Jesus is just speak the word and my servant will be healed. All you have to do is you don't have to wait for Jesus to speak the word. You can speak the word as an ambassador for Jesus. And like I said, when you speak the word, your words echo through Jesus to the Father in heaven. Do you believe that today? Glory to God. In other words, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. So he takes our confession of faith, brings it to the Father, and brings it to the angels, and they make it come to pass. Do you believe that today? I believe it. Amen? And so he said to the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed. So be it done to you. So whatever you're believing about God, your circumstances today, is what's going to come about in your life. Amen. And I believe that God has good things in store for my life, and he has good things in store for your life, no matter what it looks like. And it may look a little contrary. Amen. Has it ever looked a little contrary in your life? It's like, Lord, you sure about this? Have you ever asked the Lord, you sure about this? You sure I'm supposed to be here? You sure about this? Yeah, you're supposed to be here. You're in the right place. You're thinking, oh man, am I in the right place today? You're in the right place today. Amen. God has you here for a reason. Why? Because he wants to raise you up to be greater than where you're at now. Amen. In other words, the devil never fights you. I say this quite often, never fights you with where you're at. The devil's always fighting you from where you can be. Amen. And so God has something for you. Do you believe that today? And the devil's trying to stop you. But he can't stop you. Amen? Glory to God. I love that. And in Matthew 9, 28 and 29, and when he said, come to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? There were blind men that came to Jesus in his house. And they said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. This is really interesting. Was these blind men came to Jesus, and Jesus asked them a question. He said, do you believe that I can heal you? Do you believe that I have the power? And they had to say yes. That if to receive the power of God, Jesus, do you think I can do it? In other words, do you believe that Jesus can get you out of your problems? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus can give you a new leaf in life? Do you believe that Jesus can turn the situation around? You must say, I believe Jesus can change things for the better. Amen. And Jesus touched their eyes and they were healed. And he said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Glory to God. And I'm going to say this. There's people in the last days that are giving up on God. There are people in the last days that are quitting church, quitting fellowship, giving up on God. But I'm going to say, don't give up on God. And there's religious people out here that's not serving God like they need to. And there are some religious people that, and in Timothy, it talks about this. He's talking about in the last days that there's going to be people in 2 Timothy 3:5 that will have a form of godliness but deny the power of God to work in their life. What is a form of godliness? It's people that are living in sin and not allowing the power of God to get them out of it. Amen. In other words, there's people living worldly Christians saying, well, you know, I'm just bound by these things. I'm bound up and it's no, and God's grace covers me in my sin. No, God's grace gives you the power to get out of sin. God's grace doesn't cover. Yes, to a degree, His grace will cover you to a degree. But you know what? There's going to be a time where you're going to have to turn away from those things that are displeasing to God. Amen? And I don't want to be a Christian that has a form of godliness but deny the power of God to work a miracle in my life to deliver me from anything that might be coming against me. So we want to trust God and believe that God's Word has the power to change our lives for the better. I love this exhortation talking about the Word of God. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. God wants us proving out His Word in our lives every day. And the Bible is very clear. You can be conformed to the world and the way the world thinks. The way the world thinks is, you got to show it to me for me to believe it. But the way God says, you got to believe it and you will see it. Amen. And the world would say, show me. I'm from the show me state. Amen. Missouri. So, show me first. No, the Bible says, if you believe it, you will see it. And the world says, I want to see it before I believe it. But that's not how Bible faith works. You got to believe it before you see it. Believing always comes before seeing. Amen. Do you believe that today? So we must believe the power of God's Word to work in our lives. I heard a story about an English lady that was in England. And this was a time of war over in England was happening. And then people would go into the bomb shelters. And she used to go in the bomb shelters. And they started asking, when the sirens went off, she stopped coming. And some of them said, I wonder if she got killed. Probably one of the bombs dropping. And then one person came to her house and found her there. And she said, you know what? I don't need to go to the bomb shelter. And they said, why? Because she said, I read the scriptures and God promises to protect me and I'm not worrying about it anymore. She lived through that war without getting hurt. And I love that. And you got to believe that no matter what you're encountering or what you're dealing with, God can protect you. And I like what she stood on. She got it out of the Psalms 121 because the word will cause you to act on it. And it says here in Psalms 121, 1 through 8, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Underline that. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Somebody say, I believe that. Because has anybody ever been almost in a car accident out here and you avoided it? Glory to God. I've avoided many car accidents. Why? Because God is with me. God is with me. God's watching over me. I'm going to say this. God is with you. If you avoided a car accident, you can say, thank you, Jesus, because God's watching after you. Even if you go a little over the speed limit, the angels are still with you. God's not going to say, they're 5 miles over the speed limit. No angels for them today. No, even if you're going a little over the speed limit, God's angels are still working. Do you believe that? And I love that because in Mark 11, talking about faith in God, Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. And also, in other words, believe God. Speak to your mountains. Do not doubt. but believe what you say, and it shall come to pass. God's going to make it come to pass. Amen? We got to be consistent in our confession every day. I'm going to say this. We got to be consistent in what we say and what we're believing God to do in our life. Why we don't see sometimes the miracle working power of God in our life? Because we're inconsistent. We're not saying it every day. And then sometimes we're saying the negative things, and then we try to say positive things. And you can't have negativity and positivity working together. You got to continue to be positive. Amen? I love that. So I want to focus on my main point this morning, and that faith calls those things that be not as though they were. This is a God principle. God came up with this idea. God speaks the end from the beginning. And if you want to see great things in your life, you need to start calling those things that be not as though they were. This is how Abraham operated. It says in Romans 4, 16 and 22, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Notice that. Therefore it is of faith, talking about faith, that it might be according to grace. Faith activates the grace so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham. That's who we are, who is the father of us all. As written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now that's the principle. God calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed that he may become the father of many nations. According to what it was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So we see here that Abraham had to believe God before he saw the promised child, Isaac. And this is interesting. For 24 years, he didn't see the promised child. But God came to him when he was 99 years old and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, Abraham means father of many nations. And within a year, within a year's time, he had the promised child, because they started to, he told all the people that worked for Abraham. He had over 300 people that worked for him, and they had to call him, instead of Abram, Abraham. So every time he heard father of many nations, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And every time he heard that, it built faith in him. And that faith produced the miracle of Isaac in his life. And Isaac means laughter. I'm going to say this. You might be crying right now. Weeping may endure in the night. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. Do you believe that today? And sometimes, just doing, just faith. I like to say faith it out. You got to faith it out. You got to speak the word, believe the word, expect that God's going to work, even though things aren't changing immediately. And so we see here that faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Jesus practiced this, I believe, everywhere he went. Amen. We just talked about this, but Jesus actually, in Matthew 8:13, Jesus practiced this in getting people healed. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so it shall be done for you. And his servant was healed. Jesus spoke healing before it happened. And Jesus calls those things that be not as though they were. Faith calls those things before you see them. I'm going to say that again. Faith calls it before you see them. You know, I like what Charles Capps would say. He would say, if you want the dog, don't call the cat. If you want the dog, don't call the cat. Amen. In other words, don't, if you're trying to get your dog, come on, boy, come on. You don't say, hey, oh, kitty, 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 kitty. You know, no, you got to call what you believe in God to bring. You call it into existence. In Luke 17, 11 through 19, it says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, they met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And so as it was, they went and they were cleansed. That's the key. Jesus called them well before they even went. Think about that. They obeyed an instruction as they turned and went. He called them healed before they went. And when they went, they got healed. Amen. So you got to call yourself healed even though you might be dealing with sickness. You got to call yourself wealthy even though you might be broke. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You got to call what you're believing God. God calls the end from the beginning, and that's faith. And you got to call the end of what you're believing God to do in your life, and you got to believe it and keep calling it until you see it. Amen. Do you believe that today? Faith calls into existence in God's word, doesn't get frustrated in the process when you don't see it immediately. So you keep calling it and don't get frustrated. It says here in Romans 4:20, talking about Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. So we see here, even through the process, he kept giving the Lord glory. And I'm going to say this, through the process of receiving, you got to keep giving God glory no matter what it looks like. It could even look worse. Have you ever prayed and it just seems like things got worse? Amen. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And so you got to pray it through. Faith calls those things into being and frames the world that we live in. I'm going to say it again. Faith calls the things that you're believing God for and will frame the word, the world that you live in. In Hebrews 11:1-3, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God the Father frame the world with his word. And you can frame your life, you can frame your family with the word of God. Speaking the end from the very beginning, and you will see it come to pass. So if you want to walk in exceeding faith, and that's the title of my message series, you must believe that God's word is supernatural and it can change the natural in our lives. If you're going to walk in supernatural, exceeding faith, you must love the Word of God and stay out of offense. If you're going to walk in exceeding faith, you must honor God's Word above everything else in your life. If you're going to walk in exceeding faith, you must believe God's Word over natural circumstances of your life. And if you're going to walk in exceeding faith, you must call those things that be not as though they were. And if you do these things, I believe your faith will exceed and you'll become all that God has called you to be. Do you believe it today? Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, I'm believing that you are moving in this congregation. You're moving on those that are watching online. And maybe you've never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you confess Jesus before men down here, Jesus will confess you before the angels and the God, the Father in heaven. So I want to encourage you today to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ and just pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, believe you got born again. If you're watching online, you're here locally, we'd love for you to come out and be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you don't have a church home, and if perhaps you're maybe out of the area, then I'm going to encourage you, if you don't have a church home, to find a good church home and get locked in so your faith can grow. Continue to stay with us online. We'd love to minister to you, and we're believing that our church can help you grow in faith. Amen?
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.